with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Barbara Sullivan. Today, Marnie Roper speaks again with the inspirational Maggie Hirch, CEO of Arts Health Institute, to hear more about the other programs they offer.
Maggie, in our previous discussion, I've talked about your wonderful music and memory program. Now, this week, we'd like to explore with you the other arts programs offered through your organisation. So let's start with Sing Out Loud.
Sing Out Loud is this magical choir, and it runs for people within residential aged care, but also in the community, so usually through community care providers. And the choirs can be intergenerational, so it can be linked up with a local school. And we call that Sing Out Loud Together, and that is magic. But the choir itself, with the adults only, is really beautiful. It's based on being very playful. It's not a stiff type of choir where people sing in harmonies. It's more about having fun. And really, when you think about the history of choirs, it's through choirs and singing together with people that you really build community. There's some interesting research, actually, that's been done about carers and people being cared for, that if they were to sing together, it evens out the status. And I think that's really important, particularly when you're looking at quality of life and you're looking at better ways of communicating and supporting and enabling someone who you're caring for. The other thing with the choirs is that it's a great way for volunteers to get engaged. So the choirs run every week, and we've got maybe about 20 of them at the moment now, and we hope that that will grow to hundreds. Eventually, a choir might, in fact, perform, but they're not set up that way. They're set up really to build community and to reduce loneliness.
And who would be a typical participant, if there is such a thing as a typical participant?
Yeah, so the choirs, because they run in primarily in residential aged care, but also in community, they're people who are getting aged care services. So they're older. Some people may have complex health conditions, from a stroke to multiple issues around pain and so on, and mobility issues, or they might have some degree of cognitive impairment along the spectrum of dementia. So it's for everyone, really.
So it benefits different people in a completely different way.
Correct. I mean, we had one woman who joined the choir through her community care provider because she'd had a stroke. Now, she lost her ability to walk and she was getting her speech back. Singing, of course, is a fantastic vocal exercise to help improve your singing. There's a lot of therapeutic benefits with singing in many ways. But she was also a poet and she'd written about 4,000 poems and has her own website. When she had the stroke, she stopped. She gave it up. She just didn't want to do it anymore. And she lost all motivation. As soon as she came to the choir and started to really bond with people and feel that she was progressing and improving in her own abilities, she decided to write a poem that then was turned into the lyrics of a song that our maestro who runs these choirs put to music. It was quite amazing.
And do you have to be able to sing well to participate?
No, you don't. But I believe everyone can sing. Some people just don't really want anyone to hear them for fear of being out of tune. But in a group, you can't really notice it. And it's really about having a go. But look, we've also had in residential care some people who are quite frail and elderly, sometimes locked up in their own world. You know, they're in the end stages of their life, might be in water chairs. But we bring them down because if they're around other people singing, they benefit too. You just might not notice it as much. One woman in particular used to be a piano teacher, and we put her chair right next door to the pianist, and so she could listen and watch and just take it all in.
And I noticed you called them maestros, the leaders of the groups. Do they have to be musicians or have any special training? Or
yeah, so all of our artists are very skilled performing artists in whatever their area of work might be. And for the maestros, they're typically opera singers, musical comedy background for some of them. Some of them are cabaret performers, and everyone has their own other creative pursuits. What they do with art isn't their full-time job. They have a very varied palette of creativity, and we want that. We encourage that. That's important for them to stay sharp. It's not like being a music teacher necessarily, where you're doing it and that's all you do. These are performing artists.
And do you have to give them special training?
Yes. So we provide special training and support. So we recruit artists. We, in fact, just last week celebrated the 1,000th entry into our database of an artist that wants to work with us. And so there's a lot of people interested in this work, that's for sure. But we have a very strict criteria for engaging an artist, and we have pretty high standards. It's really important for artists that we recruit to have bucket loads of empathy and compassion. We understand they're skilled and great artists and performers, but ultimately they're there not for them, but for serving someone else. And they need to be able to watch, see and learn and make sure that they're engaging well. So we teach a lot of skills in engagement, in being playful, in understanding the conditions, the health conditions that a person may have that's in their group. And they need to understand too how to work in these kinds of environments. It's very hard for artists to just be able to work in highly regulated, very strictly controlled healthcare environments. And I'm speaking mainly about hospitals and residential aged care. There's lots of strict criteria around privacy, around cleanliness, hygiene, hand washing, infection control. Like, I could give you a big list. And what we do is we help support the artists and teach them, train and supervise them so that they know how to work in that kind of environment and remain incredibly creative, because it's the creativeness that they're bringing that is what brings so much joy to others.
And is this nationwide as well?
Everything we do is nationwide. So Sing Out Loud is across the country as well.
And another program, and I love the name, is Play Up.
Play Up is finding that imaginative self inside of you. And the older we get, we tend to think of play that can be childish, or it can be what you do when you're young, and that's kind of what society accepts. But play actually is about having fun, having an opportunity for your brain to be expressive, to be able to tap into your emotions and to your imagination. And we've been very influenced by two thinkers in this area, Stuart Brown, who wrote a lot about the science of play. And he says that the opposite to play isn't work, it's actually depression. So it's important to play. He says play is as important as sleep. And, you know, we give it that priority. Another person we've been influenced by is Stephen Lundin, who wrote a lot about the fish philosophy. And in a nutshell, it's based on the Seattle fish markets, where people would come to work and they'd find it very mundane and boring. And what they ended up doing is working out they can actually make themselves world famous and be really productive and enjoy their time at work by playing, by making someone's day, by choosing their attitude, and by being there. When you're really talking to someone, you're really thinking about them. So that's in essence the basis of Play Up. Play Up is based on the SMILE study intervention, which is a big randomized trial. And what the SMILE study showed was that by being creatively engaging with an individual person in residential care and their one-on-one visit, it makes a very big difference to agitation and it reduces loneliness and depression. Since the Play Up program has started, we're now in close to 100 aged care facilities. We see about 1,500 older people living in residential care every week. We have about 70 artists that go and deliver this beautiful engagement with the one-on-one visits. And it's really a highlight to a lot of people's weeks when the valet, as we call them, the comedian, the actor that's specially trained in this technique, turns up at that facility for that day. And we have circuits. We've developed a circuit so that it doesn't matter if you're not in a big city, you can still get it in a small country town. And so we do circuits out around Bourke, Walgett, Weewar, Narrabri. We go to Cootamundra, all around central western New South Wales and rural Victoria. And yeah, it's spreading joy and mirth. That's what I would say.
Do all the participants readily want to be involved, or do some of them need some coaxing?
Sometimes people need a little bit of coaxing, particularly if they've been self-isolating for quite some time and they're not really communicating with anyone. Our valets have a very special way of trying to do that. But we don't force anyone to participate. It's completely about reading the room, understanding what's appropriate, and seeing how you can make that person's life light up a little bit for that day, if it's at all possible. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but I'm pleased to say that probably on the most part, it definitely does and can really make a big change for how a person feels about their life and where they're at right now. And as we get older, you know, the more we sit and we're contemplating our life and reflecting back on it, we kind of keep writing scripts in our heads. And sometimes by expressing how you feel and how you can then transport yourself with your imagination can just suddenly change how you see yourself in the world again. And that's where Play Up has quite a powerful impact on people.
Absolutely. And finally, for the other end of the age spectrum, I understand you offer a program for children with hemiplegia called the Amazing Magic Club. What exactly does that involve?
The Amazing Magic Club is just a pure delight. It's young people, usually between the ages of 8 and 16 years of age, who have got hemiplegia. And hemiplegia is like cerebral palsy. They've got one-sided weakness. It's like from a childhood stroke or stroke in utero. And so these children have had lots and lots of therapy, particularly on their legs, so that they could continue to walk. But often the hands are often weak. And when they come to us, we've had children who still at the age of 8 need to be fed or can't use cutlery, can't use their hand with any real function. And as they're heading into puberty, that becomes a really big issue from a psychosocial point of view. Like, these kids can't go out on a date necessarily and ask their boyfriend or their friend to cut up their food for them. So if we can make a difference to how they use their hand, then that's going to make a big difference to how they feel about themselves and their level of independence. But what we do is we have them come together for 2 weeks during the school holidays and they learn to be magicians. So they're sworn to secrecy. They must never share the secrets of their magic. And they're there diligently working away on progressively more complex magic tricks that all require the two hands. They need two hands for everything that they do. In fact, we're getting them to use two hands for picking up a chair, for opening their box full of their magic trick equipment. From everything to lunch, we make it really complicated for them. They've got to carry their trays with two hands. They need to use a knife and fork. They cut up their own meat. Like, whatever it is, it's all two hands. So we work side by side with occupational therapists that we call magic helpers, and professional magicians that are incredibly inspiring. And for the 2 weeks, these kids are immersed in this world of magic and suddenly discovering that the real magic happens because all of a sudden their hand is able to be used in a way they've never been able to have it used before. So at the end of this, there's a whole lot of things that happen to the kids, such as if they had a goal where they wanted to be able to do their own hair or do up their shoelace, do up a button, all of those things require two hands. They're suddenly able to do it. It's amazing. And what's incredible is the newfound confidence that they have that anything they thought was impossible is now possible. It's incredibly joyful and incredibly powerful, and it makes a huge impact on the rest of their life.
Maggie, I think this program will have that effect on our listeners. It's been absolutely marvellous to talk to you. How do people get in touch with Arts Health Institute?
Just go to our website, www.artshealthinstitute.org.au. That's the best way to get in touch with us.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.